We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jolly John McComsky, and I'm back in my home in New Athens, Illinois, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you, as always, from beautiful South St. Louis, Missouri, where I serve as pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church.
And so Matt and I had kind of a dilemma, because this will be the last episode you will hear from us before Christmas. And Matt, of course, we love celebrating Christmas. We love telling the story. And yet, as we record this, we're still firmly in the middle of the Advent season. So here's my suggestion. If our listeners want to hear a really good Bible study focused on the story of Joseph and Mary and the babe, go back a year or 2 years or 3 years even. I'm sure you'll find our special Christmas episodes to listen to. But this episode, we decided we'd be a little more serious and we would focus on why you should go to Christmas services this year. So we're going to do more of an Advent theme. Is that all right with you, Matt?
Sounds good to me, John. Yeah. I love Advent too. So I am all for this. An Advent theme is just great.
Well, I'm glad because I don't particularly like Advent. I'm not a really big fan of Lent either. I don't know why we're putting this off. Let's just get to the good stuff. But okay, then in favor of you, we'll concede with your biases.
Well, you know, you got the Advent wreath, you got the candles, the growing light true. As we anticipate, and then beautiful hymns in Advent too, no doubt about it. But you're right. Christmas is what it's building up to, right, yeah, John?
But you've convinced me now. I do like Advent. Still don't like Lent. But that's okay. Advent's all right with me.
I've given up on you when it comes to Lent, John. So
Yeah, well, I've still got my petitions in to shorten that up. Come on, we don't need... Well, anyway, we need to talk about why we want to go to church for Christmas this week, okay? But I want to start by talking about some people who didn't go to church on Christmas. Okay, would that be all right?
Sure, John. Yeah.
You got your Bible handy?
I do, as always. I'm ready to go.
We're going to be focusing on the Gospel of Matthew today, since it is the year of Matthew now, right? Have I got that right? Is it the year of
right.
Matthew?
That's right. So we have the three-year lectionary, many of us follow,
yeah.
And we're in year A now, for those keeping track of lectionary years out there. And so many of our...
We are the number one humorous Bible study on Sunday mornings on KFUO, or Saturday mornings on KFUO, amongst people who keep track of the lectionary.
You know, so, that doesn't surprise me, John.
No. So here's the thing. We're actually going to do an epiphany because, you know, Matthew tells us about the three magi. Lynn, that should make Lynn happy. The three magi who come from the east of Jerusalem who want to worship the King of the Jews. Do you have your Bible open at Matthew 2 there?
I do.
Okay. So they've come and they want to worship him. Read verse 4.
Verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
And go ahead and read through verse 6.
And assembling the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
So what I never thought of before is, so who does Herod consult in terms to find out about this king of the Jews?
He consults the chief priests and the scribes.
All right, and what I didn't think of is that actually describes the two major religious leaders in the days of Jesus. The priests would be the Sadducees. That was the party where the priests came from, the Sadducees. And the scribes would have been the Pharisees. So those are the two major groups. And of course, they know exactly where the Christ is to be born. And where is that, Matt? You know it too.
Yeah, in Bethlehem of Judea.
Because that's what the scriptures had said, see?
Amen.
But here's, they didn't go to church, though. Wouldn't you think they would have packed up their bags right away and said, oh, my goodness, the prophecy is being fulfilled. We need to rush down there to Bethlehem and see this thing. But they don't go to church. They don't go.
No.
They just say, okay, no big deal. We're just staying home. It's too cold. We can't, you know, that'll take us a whole half hour to get to Bethlehem.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, you do wonder about that. Why don't they follow the Magi, right, John? Because that's what the Magi are going to do. They're going to go to Bethlehem, right? And why do they choose not to? They just kind of stay there and they know the prophecy and perhaps it's been fulfilled even. These are strange events taking place and yet they stay put.
So are you saying you'd like to know why they didn't
yes,
go there?
Yes, John. Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, Matthew actually answers that question.
Oh, fill me in, John.
All right. So if you'll jump down to chapter 3, for today we'd like to do a story that is traditional in Advent. I think it's done in one of the other Gospels every Advent season. It is the story of John the Baptist. But we want to look at what Matthew has to say about John the Baptist. If you wouldn't mind reading verses 3 through 6, I think. Yeah, 3 through 6.
Okay. Now we're fast forwarding about 30 years here. So,
yeah.
Right. So we're.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So just out of the context, you know, this is, you know, the Magi are coming at Jesus' birth and not long after his birth, at least. And then this is John the Baptist, all grown up, similar in age to Jesus. And then that's where we're picking up here in Matthew chapter 3.
Yeah, 30 years, man.
Mm-hmm, 30
you
years.
Said,
yeah.
Did you say 40? I thought you said 40.
Well, I apologize if I did. That's a biblical number, but you're right,
yes,
it's 30.
True. It should have really been 40 because that would have been more biblical. But, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, so
verses 1 through verse 6, the introduction.
All right.
And then I'll let you share any thoughts that you have about those opening verses, because I'm sure you've preached about the Baptist before. And go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins.
Okay, so tell me about it, Matt. What have you said about those verses in previous years?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, this thinking about repentance in John's message, but also repentance when it comes to the season of Advent. So is one of the gospel readings, right? That's what we're looking at for the season of Advent. And, you know, not only is John's message of repentance so relevant to his context, but to us too, right? As we prepare for Christmas.
Yep.
You know, this whole idea of repent, and that word repent means, you know, literally in the Greek, a change of mind, metanoia,
change of mind.
Or even we could say a change of heart, I suppose. And, you know, it, excuse me, just a turning away from sin, coming in confession, seeking absolution, seeking, you know, forgiveness. So definitely relevant for us today, too. And I was kind of thinking about your message on KFUO and Wrestling with the Basics. Was it last week or the week before? You were talking about weeping, right? Remember John?
Yep,
and John, Jesus, you know, leading up to the crucifixion, talking
the
about
women weeping.
The women weeping. That's right.
Yeah.
The women weeping. We sometimes overlook them, and you related that, I think, to the weeping of even repentance, right?
Yep.
And I think, you know, similar here that the weeping that comes with repentance, that is what makes Christmas worth celebrating, right? So, I mean, if we don't repent of our sin, if we don't see our need for a Savior, well, then the baby laying in the manger is not that big of a deal, right? But if we do heed John's call to repent, it's everything, right? So that's, you know, I think that's, for me, relating John to Advent today, that's one of my key takeaways is, repent. Because, boy, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and here it is. It's a baby lying in a manger.
And Matt, that's actually the issue that we're going to focus on as we move on in these verses. But before we do that, there's just a couple of details that I would like to just throw in there. It is interesting that you talked about repent. The text here says he came preaching repentance. And it struck me as interesting. That's not actually the word in the Greek. The word in the Greek is to herald. And heralding is a little different than preaching. Preaching could simply be, it could be like what we're doing, kind of religious speech. Mm-hmm. Whereas heralding is making an announcement that things are different, things have changed. There's something that you need to know because life isn't like it used to be. And I think you're right. That's the whole call of repentance here because something has changed radically. In those days, Matthew says, and of course, just what you mentioned, that's what's changed. The Emmanuel, the God with us, that's the other thing that Matthew told us, has shown up. He's here. We've been waiting for him. He's arrived. We're going to name him Jesus just because what you pointed out. But why do they name him Jesus, Matthew? Come on, tell me, why do they name him Jesus?
Because they were told to.
Come on.
Yeah, but, because it's not only his name, but it's also what he does, right? It's not only who he is, but what he does. You know, that he saves his people from their sins.
Yeah.
So he is Jesus.
That's why repentance goes with it. Because, right, I mean, if that's why the guy's come is to save you from your sins, this is how you make the way of the Lord straight. This is how you prepare for the Lord. You get your sins out there, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's come to take care of. So there's no need hiding them. The other thing I suppose I'd like to point out on those details too is for the people who are listening to Matthew in the lecture this year, Matthew will do this over and over again. He will point out the fact that it's all what God said was going to happen, right? He loves to quote the Old Testament and say this was fulfilled. This is what was spoken. And another thing the Bible tells us is that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will come again. And of course, we get a little bit of that in Matthew's account because John has a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt. He's preaching in the wilderness. These are all the same things that Elijah did. So calling back to that great prophet. Although there is an interesting detail in here that doesn't have a connection with Elijah. The fact that John ate his food was locust and wild honey. And Matt, I don't know, do you know why it is that John ate locusts and wild honey?
Well, I mean, I think it just speaks to the fact that he's in the wilderness. You know, he is a voice crying in the wilderness, and he's not eating, matzo balls and tilapia, right? Like,
because matzo balls are a really big thing.
Yeah, but he's eating locusts and wild honey because that's what he's got,
he's
right?
He's multiplied the matzo balls. Where did that come from? No, man. Here's the reason. Have you ever had locusts without wild honey?
It's a dipping sauce, right? That's right. Yeah, the honey mustard, the barbecue, or the wild honey. Any of them complement the locust well.
If Pastor Bruce Cameron is out there, that was his joke, and I have never forgot it since. All right. Get enough of that. Because now we want to get serious. Because you were raising the question, well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you repent? Right? It's Christmas. The Jesus, the one who saved us from our sins, has come. But I want to share with you now some people who didn't repent. And you won't believe who it is, Matt. It's the same people that didn't go to church on Christmas. But let's read this if you could. Verse 7. Go all the way down to verse, so let's do it to the end of the text, verse 12.
Okay. But when he saw many of the, here they are, John, the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
Yeah, burned with unquenchable fire. The word in the Greek there, I believe, is, yes, it is. It is asbestos fire. And, of course, asbestos is something that's supposed to not catch on fire. But they tell me that if it does catch on fire, that's bad. You're going to have a heck of a time putting it out. So anyway, here's my thought. In previous years, I think I've probably skipped over those verses. Probably talked about the stuff you talked about sure. repentance and in the wilderness and all that stuff. Because frankly, I don't think this has anything to do with the people that listen to our show, right? We have many, many demographics we cover, but I don't think we cover the children of serpents. I don't think
they're listening to something else on Saturday mornings, John, not Wrestling with the Basics.
Yeah, the brood of vipers are not necessarily on our favorite list, nor do I think the people who listen to us are going to end up being thrown into unquenchable fire. At least I hope not. And so I think probably in the past, I've just kind of skipped over those verses. I mean, they don't apply. In fact, you know, I probably thought, thank God I'm not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the problem is, that's exactly what a Pharisee would say, wouldn't he?
Yep.
In fact, that's what he did say, the story of the temple. There he was.
Yep.
And there was a guy, exactly. The humble sinner, bowed down, and he says, thank God I'm not like that sinner. So I got to thinking, Matt, maybe you and I, and dare I say, maybe our listeners are more like Pharisees than what we'd care to think. So here's the question. John says the problem is they're not. So I didn't mean it. You didn't know there was going to be a test, did you, Matt?
Yeah, it's all right, John.
But John says the problem with you Pharisees is you're not bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, I've had the advantage of thinking about this, although that's not necessarily an advantage for me. But what do you think? What's the fruit that they're missing there, Matt?
Yeah. Well, I think just in their case, along with repentance, you know, again, that sorrow over sin is humility, right? A humbleness, a receptiveness to not only John's message now, but a reception of Jesus himself, which is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wonder too. I don't know how old these Pharisees and Sadducees are here, but were some of them among those who Herod even consulted, right?
Oh, my.
Because here we are. We're right outside Jerusalem, right? And that's where Herod was too. So you wonder, you know, might they have been among them, or maybe they know someone who was. But they have not, sought out the one who was born king of the Jews, certainly. And they certainly don't have much humility, as we see them throughout the rest of Matthew's gospel.
And you know what, Matt? That's a great insight, because you really weren't considered an adult until you were 40 years old. Isn't that right? That was one of the criticisms of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He was actually too young to be a rabbi.
Yeah.
So you're right. This could very well have been some of those people that were there. Obviously, younger ones as well. And I think you hit it right on the head. What struck me is everybody else. In fact, that's what the text emphasizes. If I can find those words there. Where is it at, Matt? Yes, there it is. Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going to him, and they were baptized and confessing their sins. So everybody is doing this except for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are not confessing their sins. They are not getting baptized. And I understand why that is, because as we already alluded, they didn't really think of themselves as sinners. And in fact, I guess in a sense, they weren't. They had dedicated their lives to keeping every jot and tittle of the Old Testament statutes. In fact, they were so concerned about keeping them, Matt, they actually made up extra stuff to make it extra hard, right? Because if you make it extra hard, then you can't do the easy stuff. For example, if you are required to fast once a year, which is what was required. Fasting was not a big part of the Jewish religion, but on atonement, on the Day of Atonement, yes, you were supposed to fast. These guys would fast every month, maybe every week. See, so hey, so we're doing plenty of fasting, more fasting than what the law requires. If the law required you to give 10%, they'd give 11.5%. Because, you know, that extra percentage point, that makes all the difference in the world. So, yeah, why would we confess sins? Maybe we're not perfect, but we're certainly doing way more than what even the law requires. And, you know, they wouldn't get baptized. Let me share this with you if I can find it here real quick, Matt. I should be more organized. There it is. Mark 7, 3 to 4. These guys know all about ceremonial washings. Mark tells us, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. See, that's the extra stuff. Not only the Bible, we got extra stuff. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. So these guys, why do we need to be? We're already doing all these ceremonial cleansing. Yep. You guys, you Jesus and your disciples, you're not doing them. You maybe need to be baptized, but we, in fact, what I had forgotten is, did you know what the purpose of baptism was in the Jewish religion? If you don't feel bad, because I had forgotten.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just a simple wash. Well, baptized means to wash. Like, you know, some of the dining couches were being washed. And just to be ceremonially clean.
Well, but it wasn't for a Jew to do. Mm-hmm. That's what you did if you were a Gentile converting to Judaism. Yes, they needed to be baptized. If you were a Moabite or an Egyptian or a Persian or whatever, and you wanted to become, if you're not born a Jew, then you need to be baptized. But as they say, Abraham is our father. So this would be ridiculous for us to be. That's something that pagans, Gentiles have to do. So I understand perfectly why they didn't confess their sins and why they didn't get baptized. But now the question is, do we have anything in common with that attitude? Consider this, Matt. They went down to the Jordan, but they didn't participate in what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone to church and you said the words? Because we Lutherans, we take it right from John the Baptist, right? First thing we do in a Lutheran service is the confession of sins, right? We didn't make that up. That comes right from John the Baptist. But even as a pastor, have you ever found yourself reading those words of confession and not really thinking about it? Time sure. for confession,
yeah.
Matt.
Oh, yeah, you bet, John. Yeah, definitely. You know, and sadly, you know, or the Lord's Prayer, right? We get through the Lord's Prayer and we're thinking about what we're going to eat for breakfast, right? Or what we're going to, you know, what we're doing in the afternoon.
Oh, daily bread. Oh, that's right. I'll have pancakes. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah. So I just, sadly, yeah, we're guilty of that too, John. And maybe pastors more than anyone, because we're often in the Lord's house. And what a privilege and what a blessing. But at the same time, the temptation then, for it to just become routine.
And by the way, thank you for mentioning that. We're not pointing fingers at people here. As pastors, we do it week in and week out. And when you say it the same time, it does get hard to mean it. But, you know, our AA people remind us what we need to do is make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's right there from the AA handbook. And that's what confession is. But I think we would admit that maybe We don't. We just like the Pharisees. We show up, but we don't really think about what we're doing. I wonder sometimes, too, if we don't think of Abraham as our father, but we think of Luther as our father, mm-hmm. right? Because we got really good doctrine. You were listening to a Lutheran program here. We're not ashamed of that, because I don't think you can get any better doctrine than you get in the Lutheran church. But again, if you begin to think that that's why God loves us more than you other sinners out there, I would say that's probably thinking like a Pharisee. Or maybe, again, we have people who are regular church attenders. In fact, they're actually going to go Wednesday and Sunday because it's Advent. And again, thinking, well, that makes us a little bit better than other people. I mean, God certainly would love us more because we're going to church more. But again, I would suggest to you, that's thinking like a Pharisee. I'm just asking our people to consider maybe there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. And I'm not saying that so that people say, well, next week I'm going to really think about what I'm doing when I go to church. No, I'm asking people to confess their sins and acknowledge that's part of our sinful flesh. And I don't think we can get rid of it. However, Matt, before I run out of time, I do want to assure all our listeners, I don't think that you're a brood of vipers. And I certainly don't think you're going to end up in unquenchable fire, because I would imagine that most of our listeners have had something done to them that the Pharisees refused to have done to them. And what is that, Matt?
Be baptized.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know what Peter says? He says, repent. And that comes up all the time, doesn't it? John says it. Jesus says it. The disciples say it. He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I hope our listeners understand right now, that's what we're giving them, this spirit of Jesus, of forgiveness. And that does change everything. The Bible says the Spirit convicts us of sin. And I'm hoping the Spirit's doing that job and convicting you and me and everybody. Yeah, there's a little bit of Pharisee, maybe more than a little. But it also convicts us of the fact that God loves us and God forgives us, and that Jesus is indeed the one who saves his people. That's right. Sinners, we're his people from their sins. And then I needed to share this with you because I think it also changes our attitude about other people. I think we can look upon them with compassion because we know we're sinners just like they are. We want to help them. There's a beautiful passage from Galatians, Matt. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him with a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to restore people with gentleness. And then, of course, sometimes we have to confront people because of their sins. But later on, Matthew reminds us, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. But what I really like is not because I'm so superior to you, but rather because I just want to regain my brother. So I kind of jumped into the sermon there, Matt, but I just had to share those thoughts. And that's why I would say, that's why we're going to go to church. Don't go to church because it's going to make you better than other people, because you actually went to church in the middle of the week. And certainly if you go think about what's being said and remember that's why, because our Savior has been born. Man, I'm giving you a whole minute to wrap this episode up.
I would just say this, that Jesus was born for sinners, right? Jesus came to save sinners, and the Pharisees don't realize they're sinners, sadly. Yeah. So for us to come to worship in repentance, confessing our sin, that is how we receive Jesus with joy this Christmas. Yeah. He came for sinners. Thanks be to God that I'm numbered among those that Jesus came to save. And so I come recognizing my sin, coming to repentance, confident that that Savior is born for me.
So we appreciate the fact that everyone's listening to us. We pray that indeed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I, Matt, amongst all, will be convicted of our sins. But man, what a great thing it is to celebrate Christmas, not only because we're going to have some really good food and we'll all get presents, but because we have Jesus Christ who came to save us from our sins. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.